From KKRN Community Radio in Round Mountain, California, this is Community Works Radio. I'm Ellen Sugg. Community Works Radio is a locally produced show that focuses on people who work for the common good in their communities and people who join in KKRN's mission of fostering positive social change and healthy communities. We will talk about their work for the common good and about underlying issues that motivate them. Today, my guest is Jonathan Freeman, and we will be talking about his work with Native Roots Network. Welcome, Jonathan.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Just fine. I'd like to start out by introducing you to our audience. Jonathan Freeman works as a community organizer with the Shasta County Health and Human Services Agency Public Health Branch. He is a graduate of DQ University with a degree in Indigenous Studies and has a BS in Recreation Administration from California State University, Chico. Jonathan, who is Choctaw and Chichimeca, has been a part of, developed, and led many Indigenous culturally centered efforts to support Native arts, culture, and community revitalization. Jonathan is the co-founder and facilitator of Native Roots Network. So, again, welcome. And, oh, you're also a photographer and an avid trail runner and an ultramarathoner, and you serve as a board member and vice chair of Local Indians for Education, LIFE. Okay, I wonder if we weren't on the air. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay. This is Community Works Radio. This is Ellen Sugg. In case we missed in case we had something wrong going on, I'm sorry. And we will just go on with our show. My guest today is Jonathan Freeman, and he works with Native Roots Network. And we're here today to talk about what he's doing there. So, Jonathan.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Well, I've been better. No, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm very excited to have this going on here today. And we're going to start out by talking about what you do at Native Roots Network, or how it came about.
Sure. You know,
we'll start with that.
When we, when folks ask about Native Roots Network and where it started, what started it, I think for me, I must first acknowledge the traditional indigenous inhabitants of this land, including the Yana people, the Madesi people, the Astatawi people, the rest of the bands of the Pitt River Nation to the east, and the Maidu to the south, southeast, and as well as our Wintu relatives to the west. And also acknowledge my ancestors and my mentors and my teachers too, that have, you know, sacrificed a lot so that I could be here today. With our endeavor, the Native Roots Network, it's really coming from a need in our community to bring the capacity of our folks to a level where we can address a lot of the things that are affecting us in a negative way today, and with a vision of building a new future. The vision of building a place of health and of wellness, of where people can meet their highest potential.
Excellent. And what about your inspiration and motivation to start this, to do the work that you do? Not just, I mean, it sounds like you're pretty much, quite a lot of your life has been focused on this.
Yeah, so I grew up in this, you know, in this area. I'm a Bella Vista kid, actually, and I kind of experienced firsthand all the challenges that we have here, and I was really lucky to be kind of swooped up and was able to participate in a lot of youth programs when I was a young adult, and with that, you know, it became my turn, and we had some really good programs here, and yet we were still experiencing loss of many of our youth. And so from there, in about 2003, we decided to start the Native Youth Cultural Exchange as a way to show our young people that that they're not alone in the struggles that they're facing. And not only like focusing on the negative part like that, but that there's actually a lot of really good work going on in the world, especially in the Native communities. So we started the Native Youth Cultural Exchange, which led us to building a partnership with with our relatives from Hopi, which is in northern Arizona, the Hopi tribe, and then also Kanaka Maoli, Native Hawaiians from Hawaii. And so we were able to conduct a Native Youth Cultural Exchange, which consisted of a 30-day journey with 12 young men where we would visit each of the different communities for about 10 days and really jumping in deeply with community revitalization in all its forms. Charter schools, ceremonies, farming, leadership, media, everything you could possibly imagine. And, that was kind of the launching of this idea of how can we bring other ideas into, as one young man put it, like we all have pieces of the puzzle, but when we bring the puzzle pieces all together, we get a bigger picture. So we were beginning to think about ways that we could do that. And so, that we did the program the 3 years, 2004, 5, and 6, and then we had a little bit of a break, and the young men who were alumni actually tried to take on the cultural exchange project themselves, and it took a little bit of time, but 2014, after a few mini exchanges and a few maybe failed attempts and wrap up, that we they really wanted to do it again, which is really, it was kind of a special time. It was a 10-year anniversary of our first exchange. So I stepped in as an advisor and helped them. And that actually was this different separation for me being the director of a program and being hands-on to this capacity building for leaders.
And so you did that back in 2004.
Well, 2014 was this when the alumni actually ran it. We actually got to come here to the station and do an interview with the crew that particular year. And after the cultural exchange, we actually did a big debriefing. And, you know, there's a lot of different things that were coming out that they really wanted, that we're already in a way of working on. And in our own community, one of the things that we have is an annual event, which is a run. And that run inspired a run in Hawaii. So in 2014, after the cultural exchange, we organized a delegation of 20 folks from our community to go out and help our Hawaiian relatives start their run. And with that, followed by we also do an art show through the Native Arts Cultural Collective. We had our art show. We really found that we needed to house all of these different things because initially it was just youth leadership, but now we're doing art, and then we're doing community adults, everything. And that's where we took our T-shirt that we had made for the cultural exchange, which was Native Roots, and expanded it to Native Roots Network.
I see. So in 2014, the work culminated as Native Roots Network.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of a story, but that's where it originated from.
Yeah, that's really so exciting that so many young people got to do those trips and do the runs and then stand up to take the leadership. Must have been pretty gratifying for you.
It was. You know, I think sometimes with work with our youth, It can be really challenging because, you know, you may not see immediate results. I think a lot of our young people are really faced with so many different challenges, and it may take a while for some of them to run the gauntlet of all the things that snare up our young people sometimes. And to see those young men come back and the impact that the program had on them 10 years later was really... It was a real positive affirmation for the work that we've been doing. And even with the cultural exchange, it wasn't just me doing that. There was a lot of folks involved with really pulling that together so that we could, you know, do this in a way that was going to be practicing a way that we were going to be doing the program as well as the content. So there's a saying now that I really like, that process is content. And so even in the way we did that initial program, it was informed by our elders. You know, the young men had to get up every morning at sunrise because that was a shared cultural orientation. So those different practices helped us ground it. And I think with Native Roots Network, we're continuing that, where we're trying to do the work in a way that's not just doing work that's good, but the way that we do the work, we hope to do it with
the
cultural.
The process is just as important
exactly.
as what you're doing. It's the journey, not the destination
yeah.
sort of thing. And you defined yourselves as your mission to be to advance the vitality of Native communities, as that's the mission of Native Roots Network.
Mm-hmm. With that, we don't want to exclude anybody else. I think we all have a niche, and what we're trying to do is take care of our own front yard, I guess you could speak, and that way it can help the whole neighborhood. So where we're looking at this whole idea of advancing the vitality, it's really bringing the life, bringing our expression of our highest potential, our best being into our community. Because we know that we have neighbors from all over the world, living right next to us, and all of this is that process. And if we can start with the tools and the knowledge and all the work that our ancestors did to save and hold on to our cultural knowledge and our traditional wisdom and apply that not only can our native communities benefit, but really, I really feel like the whole world can benefit from a lot of our cultural values.
I agree. And we are all one. I feel that we can't not be affecting one another regardless of who we are. We're here on a small planet. And, everything is better for all of us when we're all treated the way that we should be treated, with respect and dignity, and have the opportunity to have a life just as good as any other person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so just to remind everybody, this is KKRN Community Radio. I'm Ellen Sugg. I'm the host of Community Works Radio. And today I am speaking with Jonathan Freeman of Native Roots Network. We're talking about the work that he does to have a positive impact on our community. So anyway, we appreciate you listening to Community Works, and we just wanted you to know who's talking. And then let's go on to maybe one or two other projects that you did after the 2014 running events that you did. And also, on the running events, is there some tradition or culture that comes from out of the Native traditions, or are there traditions of that being something that was done?
Yeah, to share a little bit about the Hawaiian connection, the other co-founder of Native Roots Network is actually my partner, Mikiala Catalfano, and she's Native Hawaiian, so we were able to connect that early cultural exchange through her people and her family, and then also had an uncle who had married into the Hopi tribe. So,
wow.
We had the connection that direction. Running
I wanted to give a shout out to Mikiala, because I had spoken with her and actually met up with her before I met Jonathan, and we were hoping she could be here today, but she has to be at work. I hope you're listening, Mikiala, and we're thinking about you.
Yeah, she's pretty super cool, so pretty blessed to have her as my partner. And with the work, she's an artist, and so some of the work that we've been able to do over the past period of time has been working with our other partners in our Native Arts Cultural Collective, where we put on four art shows that were centered around the title is Our Story. So it was a way that Native artists could tell our story through art. We've also
And it said Native venues. So can you tell me some of the venues? Was that the case? Was it
We Native? Turned them into Native venues. I guess in a way we were doing pop-ups before pop-ups were a term, where we would actually raise funds to rent out a place. So like the old Sim Nathan's shoe store down where the promenade, the old downtown mall, we actually rented that out for our second show. Another building where it's down in the promenade. We were really focusing on the downtown as part of the idea of centralizing in that downtown hub. And then our final show that we've done, we'll have another one at some point. We're just taking a little bit of a break. But we were able to partner with the Shasta County Arts Council and hold it there in the old city hall.
Yeah, I wondered if it had been there, because the picture I saw of it looked like maybe that it had been. And so is there a show going on right now? Is that ongoing?
There's not. Normally what we would do with those shows, we did a month-long exhibition and then also celebration of cultural different activities. So we would have poetry readings, maybe a night of how to, building regalia or printmaking. We actually had an indigenous watercraft workshop where we were able to highlight some of the canoes that are being built here, but then also Yurok canoes from from our neighbors out there to the west, and brought down some folks from Nisqually who were hosting the 2016 Canoe Journeys, 2015, one of those years. Anyways, they were hosting the Canoe Journeys up in Washington State from the massive work that's going on there to bring back indigenous watercraft. So right now there's nothing going on with that, but we are looking at that coming up in the future, so stay tuned.
Yes, we will. And okay, so I noticed in on your website, and we should tell people about your website so that if you're interested in seeing what Jonathan's talking about and learning more about his organization, you can go there. It's nativerootsnetwork.org, correct?
Correct.
And they have a lot of beautiful pictures of what they're doing. But you talked about a couple of events or projects that NRN did in 2015, Natives Getting Active.
Yeah, you know, it's always really fun to kind of recap on what you've done because you can forget, I guess, a little bit. So just in that short period of time after the run and where we supported what they call the Ahapule Aina Holo, which is the run that symbolizes Makahiki, which is based on an older tradition of the priest would walk, carry a banner all the way around the island to announce a time of peace, a time of lono. Here we have different runs that are they're prayer runs, they're sacred runs, so that we can really kind of reconnect, awaken the land, awaken ourselves. So that we started actually a little program called Runners of the Dawn, shortly following the art show, where we used running, digital media, and as a way to mobilize youth to learn how to like create their own media. So we did that, and some of the adults were like, "Hey, I'd like to come. Can I come?" Because they're really interested in walking and being outside too. So we started our Natives Getting Active project, which is in March of 2015. We actually have met every Monday since that March of 2015 at 6 p.m. to run and or walk. And we don't miss a Monday. It doesn't matter if it's 110 or if it's, you know, 30 degrees and dark in the middle of winter.
And so how do they link running or walking with media? How did you have them, or how did they come up? What ideas did they come up with?
Well, it kind of backfired on me a little bit. You know, in the past, I had been part of a project where we were using digital media as a way to hook kids and into other parts. And well, this particular project, we had the digital media, but the kids really got into running.
Okay, good. Well, that was so, maybe the unintended consequence.
It was great.
It's not bad.
We had to remind them to stop and do the video making. You know, it was pretty fun. So with that, yeah, you know, I think with that we awakened something. And what I'm learning about trauma and the actual, what they're referring to as NEAR science, which is the neurological, epigenetic, ACE-informed resilience science, that there's a lot of healing that goes on when you do these things that are bilateral movements, which walking or running really are. So even unintentionally, as we were out running and being out on the land, that we were actually doing this really deep level of healing that that I think in some way, maybe even really subconsciously, we're responding to. Plus, we're creating a community, whether it's five kids, whether it's when we have, you know, we've had up to 40 people show up to our run group at the Sundial Bridge. But we create that safety, we create connectedness, all of these things that there are now looking as these protective factors when they start looking at ways that we address what they refer to as ACEs or adverse childhood experiences.
Yes, yes, I see. And so did Runners of the Dawn lead into Natives Getting Active then?
It did. And, you know, again, since we've had like the one of the runs here, the ancestral run has been going on for over 25 years, I believe. There's a response that already happens. You know, it's kind of funny because every year we go and we run, and then everybody's like, "Oh my gosh, next year I'm going to get in shape for this." And so this was kind of an opportunity for us to have a weekly get together to get in shape for these things. And from even the Natives Getting Active, it actually helped fuel some of our running delegations. So not only now have we helped with that run in Hawaii, and we've actually sent a delegation out for the past 4 years to Hawaii. Raised money. We do this whole crazy fall push, and folks go out and participate. We've also been able to send runners out to a run that was the Hopi to Gila River Run, which was from Hopi all the way to the southern Arizona area. We've been able to go to participate in the Modoc Run, and then we helped with the first year and last year with the Run for Salmon. Additionally, one of the crazy connections that happened with the run in the Makahiki run is that there is folks from Japan who live in Hawaii now who are inspired. So we actually helped to go all the way out to Japan and run what they call the Tuskegee Run, which is a four-day relay spiritual run around Mount Fuji.
Wow, that's very exciting. You're getting these kids are getting to really see the world and connect with their indigenous brothers and sisters everywhere else as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be powerful, you know, not only healing but empowering.
It is, and you know, and the youth are part of this as well as you know our adults. I mean, you know, now I think that's again one of the things that while we maintain a youth focus in all of our work. It's actually the gamut. We have, you know, we have folks who are young 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, and 60-year-olds all the way up who are part of what we're doing.
Great. And also what's come to mind is, so you and Mikiala are the co-founders and directors and operations of the organization. How many people work with you to do all these projects and organize them?
Yeah, you know, I think when I refer to myself as the facilitator, you know, we will use the co-founder label, but really it's a collective. And it's really about, you know, I think that all of us have a gift, and that's you know one of the roles that we play is really trying to help create space where people can express those gifts. And so we have as our core group of folks probably around 12 to 14 people, and then you know you could do concentric rings, and the rings continue to grow. And you know there's depends.
So I see you have an advisory board too.
Yeah, we do have our advisory board as a way to have some get feedback into the work mm-hmm. that we're doing. We didn't really want to go through the whole process of having a board of directors and adopting the you know Robert's Rules of Order and all that. This is more of a way that we can have feedback and conversation about the direction of the work that we're doing.
Very good. And so also. Along these same lines, do you have a location and a place that is called Native Roots Network?
Beyond our kitchen table?
Wherever.
Right.
You know, your address is Shasta Lake. Is that your house?
So, no, actually, so we have a great partnership with Local Indians for Education. They are our fiscal sponsor. And, you know, sometimes it gets confusing for folks because they think, oh, fiscal sponsor, that means life pays for everything that you're doing. What it is with our partnership, we have an MOU with them that's a memorandum of understanding that we actually are able to operate through their nonprofit standing. They're a 501c3, one of the I think they're one of the oldest, if not, I think there's one other or two others, but Native organizations who are 501c3s here in the county. And so through that, we're able to seek grant funding and donations, and they are our fiscal agents. So they're actually overseeing our finances, even though we are responsible for raising and spending them. We're fairly independent. Our actions are in alignment with Life Center. And so that's our mailing address is Life Center. Yeah.
I see. So most of your meetings are out in the world, it sounds like.
We do.
And gatherings are these projects that you do.
Yeah. And one of the things that I think that we actually have set aside in our mind with that is that every time that we get together, we're reclaiming space. Every week that we get back together at the Sundial Bridge, it's a remembering of the Wintu people. That's El Palm. That's the traditional name of that side of the river there. And that we are recognizing that this is, you know, that these are the lands that the people lived on for thousands of years. And even though sometimes the landscape has changed, the ancestors are still there.
Very nice. Beautiful. That's a good point. All of this is Native land, really, right? And I guess we might as well think about going on into our break at the bottom of the half hour, which is going to be a song by Buffy St. Marie. But I will just also give a quick little announcement about an upcoming KKRN event. KKRN is a listener-supported radio station, and we get all of our money either through donations from individual listeners and supporters or underwriters, which are businesses that donate to us, and finally through events. So that's where all of our money comes from to stay on the air. And we are planning an event on August 5th. It's going to be a band called New Blue coming on, through on a tour, a nationwide tour. And it's blue. It's called New Blue, and it's bluegrass. They claim that they are breaking the boundaries or bending the boundaries of bluegrass. They're a very acclaimed band. It's going to be on Sunday afternoon, August 5th, 3 to 6 p.m. at the old at the old City Hall. And there will be tickets on sale at Eventbrite. We have a Facebook event already set up. If you do Facebook, you can check it out. It's a $15 ticket to come. And also, KKRN is going to be doing beer, wine, beverages, and food for sale. We expect it to be a really great event, and wanted you guys to know about it. Also, the opening act is going to be a local band called Bird Feeder. And if you'd like to know more information about this event, you can call our business office and leave a message. It's 337-1101. And so before we get back into the discussion with Jonathan Freeman of Native Roots Network, I'm going to play you a little bit of music from the one and only Buffy St. Marie.
All right.
Sisters of Tide. Over
Okay, that was Buffy St. Marie singing Sing Our Own Song. Really loved that song. And welcome back to KKRN Community Radio, 88.5 FM, listener-supported community radio right here in Shasta County. I am Ellen Sugg. The show is Community Works Radio, and today my guest is Jonathan Freeman of Native Roots Network. And we have spent the first half hour talking about how he started this wonderful organization and some of their past projects. And now we'd like to turn to some of his plans for the future for Native Roots Network. So, Jonathan?
Yeah, so, you know, I guess my plan is to be receptive to the plans of our collective. And, you know, when we start looking at our work and in its entirety, you know, we look at it, we're building a community of health through things like our Natives Getting Active and other sacred runs. We're looking at capacity building, whether it's still we're continuing to do some different kinds of exchanges. Last September, we did what we called the LearnX, which is an adult learning exchange where we went to Hawaii to look at and learn from many different culturally based sustainable community development models that were happening over in Oahu and the Big Island. With that too, we're getting involved civically. Education and advocacy. We really ended up in a surprise fashion jumping into the process of building drafting the City of Reading downtown specific plan. We noticed that there was zero mention of Indigenous people in the plan, and so that led us to get involved. And now with our work, we actually have been able to insert a whole paragraph that at least recognizes the Indigenous people of that part of the river.
Well, that seems like an important thing to do. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for getting yourself in there. We need that.
So with that, too, we have members of our collective who are really interested in food sovereignty, looking at ways that we can use our traditional foods as well as growing our own food, whether it's, you know, squash and corn or, you know, things that aren't necessarily traditional but healthy foods. And again, everything that we're doing, we're really focused on this idea of learning ways to offset that trauma and the chronic stress of the legacy of genocide that took place in this region. And the impact that it has on us intergenerationally and even, you know, personally. And so some of the work that's happening, you know, one of the ways that we're manifesting that is, one is we're continuing to get together and to support one another as far as learning more about what to do and how to address some of these things. We are continuing our work with our partnership with the Downtown Cultural District. And just trying to be a voice there, and that's been really awesome because there's been, I think, a new level of receptivity to some of the concerns and some of the ideas from Native community members.
Yeah, I would just like to add in there that KKRN has a studio, a production studio in Reading now, and we're part of the cultural district too.
Right.
And that's exciting. I think that's a great thing too. And just another thing I want to mention to you and to our listeners is that KKRN is also in the process of planning an indigenous cultural event in the fall. And, you know, hoping that we can work on that. So.
Oh, yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, maybe we should get together on that.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's one of the things that we're working on right now, too. There's a couple of different events. So through our education and advocacy, we're working. A young man in our community, Winter Fox Frank, he had done a lot of research and brought up the Treaty of Cottonwood Creek or the Ash Creek Treaty. People use different names to describe it, but mm-hmm. that was a treaty in 1851 that was promising Wintu and Yana people, actually the land that the studio is on, from the Sacramento River on the east side, 25 miles all the way to the Pitt River from Ash Creek, a massive reservation land that was supposed to be, guaranteed safety and by miners. The state of California paid bounties for scalps, and they paid out millions of dollars for scalps or heads of Native people. So by the time the Indian agents got here, it was, you know, this idea of safety was really important there. And there's a lot of trauma that took place you know, there's this, it's a really horrific history here.
Yes, indeed. So I know I got this information from you. Historical trauma is the culmination of negative effects on one's behavioral health caused by traumatic experiences over the course of several generations.
Yeah, so when we look at things like, you know, a massacre, then you figure maybe even different generations of massacres that may have taken place. If you're looking at, you know, 1848, 1851, and then, you know, things continued. There's all sorts of records of the way things happened all the way through here with Yana country. Many people are familiar with the whole story of Ishi, and that, you know, what, in the early 1900s, he's walking into Oroville after basically seeing the rest of his people be wiped out. Pitt River people, too, there's a really special movement going on. There's folks in the community who are planning what they're calling the return of the ancestors. It's a run walk from Covelo back to Pitt River to acknowledge the many Pitt River people and other Native people who were marched out of these lands. Some taken to the coast and put on ships and sailed around for weeks to get them lost and confused, and then taken to Covelo. So this is a way of healing multiple levels. Some folks escaped and came back, and some folks, there's still Pitt Rivers in Covelo that their families never came back.
I see. And there's this. So is there a prescription for how one with this historical trauma overcomes it? So you talk about healing. Are there other aspects to it? Are there programs that help address this?
You know, I think part of the work that we're focusing on again is you know, what we're learning through that near science is that, you know, there's many different components, and that when they start talking about epigenetics, they start talking about the way that this gets coded in our DNA. So when it's coded in our DNA, one way you can look at it is as a switch has been flipped on, which may result in higher cortisol levels, the hormone that's all around stress. And so we may be operating at a higher level of stress continually, just biologically.